From the pulpit of Pastor Paul Bailey, this is the Modern Pew Podcast.
One of the most mistaught scriptures in the entire Word of God, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And how many times have we seen somebody baptized, heard somebody baptized, and we say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the way we've seen it since our youth. That's the way we were brought up hearing it. That's the way you always see it on TV. Isaiah 9:6, follow the page with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Could anybody continue that verse out if you were writing it? Strong Tower, God of Glory, Lord of Lords, Rock of Ages, Lily of the Valley. Could you come up with some other things that His name might be called? That could go on and on and on and on. He's going to have a lot of things that are attributed to His name. But let me tell you something this morning. There is a name. And in Matthew 28:19, when Jesus was talking to not only His disciples, but to a crowd that was upward of, I believe, 500, going by memory here, not looking at it in the Scripture, talking to a large crowd, He told His disciples to baptize people in the name. He said, use the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. There is a name that should be used when people are baptized. We're going to read Scripture together. Maybe I'm all wrong, but you read this Scripture with me today and see what you think about it when we get done. His name shall be called, in Isaiah 9:6, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. There's going to be a lot of things that His name is called, but His name, being Jesus, is going to be called a lot of different things. I am Father to children that are in this place. I am pastor to many of you. I'm a preacher to most of you. Maybe a pastor to most of you. Looking around the room, I may pastor most of you that are in here. Preacher to most, friend to most that are in here. I'm a son to my mother who's probably making ice cream for us. I'm a grandson to this woman over here. I'm a brother to him, friend to him. I've got a lot of different titles in my life, but when I write a check, I put my name on it. I've got a name. My name is Paul Bailey. The bank would probably laugh my check out of the bank if I signed it Father, Son, and Brother. Excuse me, you know, there's supposed to be a name here, and that's exactly what Jesus told His disciples to use, was a name. He said, use the name. Look, is there a name that's been given to us? That's the question I'm going to ask for the next few minutes. Is there a name that's been given to us that we're supposed to use in baptism that can apply to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Ghost, to the Everlasting Father, to the Prince of Peace, to the Rock of Ages, to the Lily of the Valley, to the Lord of Lords? Is there a name? Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's look at a few scriptures that possibly link together, and I believe link together, a name that applies to Jesus, applies to the Son, applies to the Father, applies to the Holy Ghost. Luke 1:31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name, say it with me, Jesus. John 5:43 says, I am come in my Father's name. And you receive me not, if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. So we're supposed to call his name Jesus. His name is going to be Jesus. And Jesus told some of his followers one day that I am come in my Father's name. So we can apply that same name to the Father. We're supposed to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Reading that last scripture there, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So we've got the name that's Jesus that's been revealed to us, and we all understand that that's the name. We really do. There's nobody that's got a great mystery that we don't understand the name of Jesus and understand that that's the name of our Savior and our Lord. Amen? So that's no great mystery, but these scriptures that we've just read here ties the Son, the Father, the Holy Ghost, all of these different titles that you could give to God, it ties them into one name. And looking back up to the scripture right under what is the name in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're going to be saved, it will have to be done by the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name that will save you. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You cannot go to the Father but by me. You have to go through His truth. You have to go through His word. You have to go through His name. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to make it, you're going to make it His way. You ain't got hope outside of Him. Jesus told His disciples to baptize. Matthew 28:19. Read that verse again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. I cannot imagine Jesus telling them to do something that was a waste of time. I know that there are many among us in the society we live in that say baptism does not matter. Baptism is not important. It doesn't matter if you were baptized. It does not matter when you were baptized. It does not matter how you were baptized. Well, I simply respond to that and say, find me some word of God that tells me that, and I will preach that next Sunday morning. But until I find that scripture, I have no choice but to preach what is in this scripture. And this scripture clearly tells me that He told His disciples to baptize people. And it was apparently important how they baptized, because there were people in the Word of God that were rebaptized that were not baptized the way they needed to be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you notice, Jesus Himself linked believing, baptism, and salvation. And I know it's not popular, but it is Bible. I know it's not politically correct to talk about baptism being a part of the salvation experience, but Jesus said it, I didn't. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He told Nicodemus in John 3 that you must be born again of water and spirit, or you will not see and you will not enter into His kingdom. You've got to be born of both water and spirit. It's not something that is optional. It's not something that He said you do if you want to do it. He said you must be born again. And if we're going to make it, we've got to make it His way. How foolish would we be to try to start changing the doctrine of the Bible? I don't care how long somebody's been preaching. If they've got revelation or understanding that is outside of that Word of God, you need to disregard what they're telling you. I don't care who they are to you or what they have been to you in the past, honey. That is that Word of God that needs to be true, and everybody in your life needs to be a liar if that's what it takes. The Word of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Everybody understand how the New Testament's laid out? You've got the Gospels there, biographies about the life of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The four Gospels telling about the life of Jesus Christ. Inspired by God, no doubt. We have the book of Acts, which is a historical book of the New Testament, how the New Testament church was started. And then we have epistles that come after the book of Acts, through that is Romans through Jude. And then we have the book of Revelations, which is primarily prophecy about end time stuff we're studying on Wednesday night. Everybody with me? It's important to understand where you're reading from when you're reading some things, because things change as times progress. So let me tell you something. Things change when Jesus Christ went to that cross, when He went to that tomb, and when He came back out of that tomb and ascended into heaven. It changed the way man approaches God. If it did not change, I'm using a logical argument with you for a moment, if it did not change the way man approaches God, He would not have done it. Reading Mark 1:4 says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Baptism in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, being linked to remission of sins. And he came into all the country about Jordan preaching the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Luke 3:3, Acts 13:24. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So John obviously preached baptism to people, a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now some people today don't want you to know that baptism is how you get remission of sin, but it is the only way that we are promised remission of sins in the New Testament church. Now, if you've ever had a cancer patient in your life or somebody in your family that was diagnosed with cancer, honey, some of the sweetest words you'll ever hear is the word remission. That cancer is in remission. That doesn't mean it's standing still. It's not gaining ground. It means it's losing ground. It means it's going the other direction. It means it's being wiped out. It's leaving. And if you want sin to be remitted in your life, the only way that you are promised to have that done according to the Word of God is baptism. Now, if you can find another scripture that gives it to you some other way, I'll be glad to preach that. But over and over and over, baptism was preached for the remission of sin. Or are we just too intellectual for that? You know, is our society just too smart to believe that it has anything to do with it? You can take your intellect, I'll take the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something, you better go back and rely on the Word of God. Have confidence in God, not in men, not in man's doctrine, not in something that we've come up with that sounds good, that makes more sense than what the Lord was trying to tell us to do. He didn't make it complicated, He made it easy. And we try to explain things away in the day that we live and say, oh, God didn't really expect that of us. Jesus didn't really want us to do that. Well, He told His disciples to baptize. He told them how to baptize. The disciples preached water baptism. They did it in a particular way, honey. Who are you and I in the hour that we live in, so close to the coming of the Lord, to try to do it any other way? If you hadn't figured it out, honey, I think we are living in the last day. We're living in an hour when people are going to cleave to themselves, teachers having itching ears. Now, that's King James, but in our common vernacular, it means I'm going to find somebody that's going to tell me what I want to hear. And if you want to find somebody to tell you you can live any way you want to and go to heaven, then you can find somebody to tell you that this morning. You can just drive down the street. You want to find somebody that tells you it don't matter if you're baptized, it don't matter how you're baptized, it don't matter if you're baptized at all, you can be baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jesus' name, Mickey Mouse, or Budweiser. It just don't matter. But honey, you ain't going to find that in the Word of God. And it is God that is going to judge us. People just want to explain the Word of God away. Want to wrestle it away. And the Bible talks about that. Wrestling with the Word of God, but you're doing it to your own destruction, according to the Word. And He has gone through a lot. You better believe He went through a lot to put Himself down here in the form of a servant, to be hung up on a tree, disgraced in front of humanity so that you and I can be saved. 2,000 years later, He's inspired a preacher to come out into this community and start a church where the gospel of Christ can be preached. He's gone through a lot to get you where you're at today, to get me where I'm at today, honey. And don't think that He's going to wink at ignorance when you have an opportunity to do something about it. But in our society, we got people that cleave to themselves, teachers having itching ears, find somebody to tell me what I want to hear. And you can. You certainly can. I'm going to tell you what. When I come to church, I want truth. Acts 18:25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 18. Let's read a few more scriptures together on that account. This man knew only the baptism of John. He was preaching, he was teaching, and he knew only the baptism of John according to the Word of God. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. This person was a teacher. He was someone as he was in instructing, working boldly in the synagogue, and had only been baptized by John. Now, it doesn't spell things out there, but the Scripture is pointing out that he only knew the baptism of John. But I ask you to use your intelligence for a minute. There must have been another baptism. There must have been something else out there if he only knew the baptism of John. There must be something else, and we're going to read about that together this morning. Acts 19:3 says, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. If you read that whole account in Acts chapter 19, it's an absolutely fascinating story of people that had been baptized by John the Baptist. And when the apostle came to him, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, we were baptized into John's baptism. And the apostle said to them, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Verse 5 says, now when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. They were baptized in the name. And your neighbors deserve to know that there is a name that can still save people today.
The people that are driving by on those streets out there deserve to know that there is a name that they can be saved by. I'm telling you, the religious world has lied to us long enough. They have got us convinced that it doesn't matter how you live. If you prayed some prayer of faith back when you were 6 years old, you can live like hell and go to heaven. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie.
Praise God. Romans 6:4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we also should walk in newness of life. Ephesians 4:5 says, there is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. 1 Peter 3:21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And you can say, I don't understand why the Scripture's teaching us. We'll get more of them. Why the Scripture talks about us being baptized in this name. Let me tell you something. It was never your place to understand. When it gets right down to it, you don't have to understand everything on the other side of baptism. You need to get through the waters of baptism and understand it will come more clearly according to the Word of God. Because when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John 3:3, where he said, except you be born again of water and spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That word see means to understand. Understand, comprehend, perceive. So don't worry about it if you don't understand everything, but if you see in the Word of God as we're going through these Scriptures today that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name according to the Word of God, honey, don't hesitate. Don't delay. We've got water. We've got preachers. Let's get it done. Amen. Like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 2:38 was the culmination of the first message. It was preached in the historical account in the New Testament of how the church was started. We talked a few minutes ago about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how they are biographies of the life of Christ. Well, when we get to the book of Acts, it is the only historical book that is written in the New Testament, giving us an account of how the church was started. You need to understand that this morning, because most denominations out there this morning will tell you that if you want to get right with God, you will go over to the book of Romans and read what was written in the book of Romans to tell you how to straighten out your life and get right with God. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the book of Romans was written to people that were already in the church. It was not instructions telling them how to get in the church. It was telling them how to maintain their relationship with God. It was never telling them how to start a relationship with God. The book of Acts was written as a historical account of what the apostles did. You know, in our society, we don't even use the full name of the book anymore. You think that's by accident? And in the book of Romans, when you go over to the book of Romans and you find Scripture that tells you that everybody's a sinner, and that's good Scripture, and when you find Scripture telling you to confess your sins to the Lord, He's faithful and just, and He'll forgive you of your sins, that's good word, but it's written to people that have been baptized in Jesus' name. It's written to people that were already in the church the way they were told to get in the church. These were not new instructions telling somebody how to get right with God. It was instructions coming from the apostles years later, after the church was already going, dealing with problems, dealing with situations, telling them traps to watch out for, tricks that the devil would have for them. It was not telling them how to start a relationship with God. If you want to find out how mankind needs to start a relationship with God in the dispensation that we live in, you have to turn to the book of Acts. It's the only place it's covered. If you want to read about what God did on day one of creation, you have to turn to the book of Genesis. If you want to read the actual account of what happened when Noah built the ark, you have to turn to the book of Genesis. If you want to read about what happened when David fought Goliath, you have to turn back to Samuel or the Chronicles. You have to turn to in the Word where it's at in the Word. And the only place you find lost humanity being told how to get right with God is in the book of Acts. Well, you ain't going to be able to say you ain't heard it. I'm not trying to take away from the gospel. I'm not trying to take away from the epistles. They have their place. I'm not trying to take away from the book of Revelations or the book of Genesis or any other book. I'm not trying to tell you, but I'm telling you, if you want to read about a certain thing, you want to read about the birth of Christ, where do you turn? You turn to where it's written about. If you want to read about the birth of Christ, you can't go to the book of Acts. But they don't talk about it in detail there. But if you want to know how to start a relationship with God in the same time period that you and I are living in and find out what did the apostles tell people that they needed to do in order to be right with God, you had better turn to the book of Acts. Because I'm telling you, by the millions, people have taken people over to the Roman road and shown them scripture after scripture about how you confess your sins to the Lord and He'll forgive you. But I'm telling you, it was not written to people that were not baptized in Jesus' name. You can like it or not like it. But I'm telling you the truth. And this close to the coming of the Lord, honey, we better fall in love with truth. With truth. It don't matter what you believed all your life. It don't matter what you've been taught all your life. It don't matter who believed it before you believed it, honey. You better fall in love with truth. I'll ask you this morning, do you love your religion more than you love your Bible? Do you love your denomination more than you love your Bible? Do you love your life experiences more than you love your Bible? Because you won't be the first and you won't be the last one to make a choice like that. Acts 2:38. Now this is where the apostles are telling somebody how to get in the church. I'm going to flip over there in my Bible if you'd like to join me in the Scripture. That's fine. Back up to verse 36. It says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now let me ask you something. What kind of answer have you heard if you've asked somebody, "What do I need to do?" Have you heard somebody say, "Well, you need to confess your sins and ask the Lord to forgive you and He'll come into your heart. You need to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You need to believe and confess. You need to do these things." Well, honey, if that's what the apostle said, then that's what we ought to say. Would we agree with that or not? Would we agree that whatever answer the apostle gave to that man that's asking, "What do I need to do?" should be the same answer that we give to people today. Here's what you need to do. Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." If you look at that on the surface, you will say, "Well, Jesus said to baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." No, He said baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that name that we have been given is Jesus. And Peter did exactly what Christ had told him to do. He turned around and told people to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, nonetheless, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And I'm going to tell you, the ones that are getting baptized today are those that still gladly receive the word. Well, some people don't want to gladly receive the Word. Some people want to argue with the Word, explain the Word away, wrestle with the Word of God to their own destruction, honey. But I'm telling you, in verse 36 or 37, they did not know what to do. And down in verse 39 or 40, Peter was saying, "Save yourself." I can't make a decision for anybody in this place that's not baptized in Jesus' name to put you in the water. You make those decisions on your own. But I will tell you this morning, save yourself. Go to the Word of God and save yourself. If you have not been baptized in the sweet name of Jesus Christ, I beg of you to get baptized in Jesus' name the way the Word of God teaches it. Is that the only Scripture that talks about it? Oh no, there's others. Go through them quickly, Acts 8 and 12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." 8:38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized." Acts 9 and 18, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." 10:48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord
Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Somebody tell me what the name of the Lord is. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his house, straightway. 19:5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 22:16, and now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Romans 6:3, know you not that so many of us as have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? 1 Corinthians 1:13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Listen to what he's saying. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? A rhetorical question. Obviously they were not, but obviously they were baptized in somebody's name. Somebody tell me whose name they were baptized in. This is not all of them by any means. Not by any means. I had to cut a lot of them off the list just so I could hand you one sheet of paper this morning. Jesus. 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 As I'm getting ready to close, if you've got your Bible with you, turn to Acts 19. I would like to read that account. I know if there's people in here that's hearing this for the first time this morning, you've got questions in your mind. And I know that it's not easy to look into the Word of God and modify what you believe. But what hope do you have if you can't do that? What hope do any of us have if we cannot allow the Word of God to give us course correction in our life? What hope do any of us have if we can't say, I saw something new today in the Word of God? Because if you can't say, I see something new today in the Word of God, then what you're saying is, I already know everything. And if you can't allow the Word of God to give you course correction in life, and what you're saying is, I'm already going the right way and I don't need to change a thing about me. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last days. Word of God, Bible. The words are spirit and life. Can't deal with my boldness. I'm sorry. I haven't meant to offend you. I haven't meant to step on your toes inappropriately. I haven't meant to offend you by laughing in the house of God. But please do not disregard the Word of God because of my delivery and my failure of delivering it properly this morning. Acts 19:1-6, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. They had been baptized, but not baptized in Jesus' name. I baptize people all the time that have been baptized under the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And like that brother that was in Acts 18 that we were reading about, that only knew a certain baptism, and Aquila and Priscilla came to him and explained the Word of God to him, the will of God to him more perfectly. There is no shame in looking at the Word of God and saying, I've never seen that before. You hear me? There is shame in looking at the Word of God and refusing to see it. Has the Lord showed you anything lately? Are you open to God improving you, changing you, letting you have greater understanding than you have today?
Hi, this is Pastor Bailey. Thank you for listening to the Modern Pew Podcast. Most Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we have live preaching. You can listen to the audio stream on the modernpew.com website, or you can watch the video feed on Facebook Live. If you'll take time to visit the modernpew.com website, you will find a contact form on there where you can let us know where you're listening from or send any prayer requests. There's also a link on the website where you can offer financial support, and of course, we would appreciate any support that you might feel led to provide for the ministry. Pray for us when you pray. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and thank you again for listening to the Modern Pew Podcast.